For someone that we'd like cook, unless you gentlemen come up with one that you would really like cook, or we'd like cook. There we go. Number 374. 374 is send the light. If you're fit, stand with me as we sing. Send the light. Number 374. Servants, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother, and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Amen. I like that. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That is good to, it's always good to know that what the Lord starts, he will finish. And as we see from the Word of God, and even from the news, we can see that the things are being continued on and brought to a head. Amen. Thank you for that. Just a quick reminder, we're on the wee yellow prayer list. If anybody has anything they would like to add to that prayer list, let me know and we'll write it down. If you don't, that's grand. We'll have a wee word of prayer anyway. Does anybody have anything? No, that's grand. You don't have to have something. Just ask them if you have something. Right, let's have a wee word of prayer again and then we'll continue on. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again. Sometimes it seems like we're always knocking at your door, or we're always opening the door and sticking our head in and saying, oh, and by the way, Lord, please, Lord, I pray, hear our prayers for lost souls and for saved souls. Lord, for pagans to be opposed and convicted of sin and judgment to come. For the countries that, Lord, are involved in so much of what is going on in the world and being used, Lord, to polarize the world against you, for Israel especially at this time. I pray for innovation and wisdom. I pray for protection and victory in all of their endeavors, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for souls to be saved. I pray, Lord, for all those that curse Israel to be cursed by you, and for all those, Lord, that bless Israel to be blessed by you. I pray for those that lead other countries, Lord, to be greatly convicted of sin and judgment to come, and Lord, that they would be opposed on every bad decision that they make. and Lord, that we could only wish that they would understand, like Paul, how hard it is for them to kick against the pricks, to go against everything that is leading, goodness, leading the world to the point when you come back and rule from Israel with a rod of iron. We'd love to see other people saved, Lord, and walking with us and talking with us and ruling with us in the 1,000-year reign. But Lord, I pray for men's hearts to be softened or made tender towards your word. I pray for the people fighting, for the young people fighting in Russia and Ukraine, Lord, for lives to be saved. And I pray, Lord, for wickedness and devilment to be made public to all. I pray, Lord, for President Trump and his family and the prospect of him becoming the next president of the United States. I pray for protection for his life, Lord, and that of his family. I pray you too for Nigel Farage, Lord, or indeed whomever it would be that could stand in Britain, Lord, for what is right and good in this country. Please, Lord, I pray, if it's not too late, Lord, give us another 4, 5, even 10 years of what could happen when the right thing is done. Lord, thank you for this time that we've set aside. I know there are many private prayer requests and there's petitions as well. And there's thanks as well, Lord, for those that have been healed of sicknesses. And I pray for absent brethren, for all of our brethren, wherever they are, please deliver us our daily bread. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, for your word and this time we've set aside. Please use it to work in all of our hearts and lives. And let it be an acceptable time in your sight, Lord. I love you and thank you, Father. Amen. 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 More songs. Let's sing some more songs. Amen. Is any of you, yes, Mrs. Bradford?
Number 30.
Number 30 in the wee black book is I Need Jesus. Hymn number 30 in the wee black book, I Need Jesus. We'll remain seated as we sing. find one more to sign. Unless we have a
33.
And a 33. That would be 33. That would certainly work for me. God is always near me. Mrs. Bradley, your presence is required in the wee hard seat at the front of the church. Number 33. Men, let's stand as we sing, God is always near me. Simple and straightforward. Amen. From Genesis 45. Going from one end of the Bible to the other, God is still working in people's lives all through that time and still working in people's lives today as well. I hope this will be a help to you. I'm sure you've heard many, many messages from the book of Genesis and on the life and times of Joseph. And this is most likely nothing new whatsoever, but it is a good reminder. Amen. Would ask if you would remember not only our absent brethren, but the families in Southport that lost children to that young black Muslim fella who unfortunately ticks all the boxes for diversity reporting and protection from the police, etc., etc., and the media organisations. Please do remember the families that will never be the same because of a pagan child killer. And I pray you that I would love for him to get saved, but he has a lot to pay for in this world. So please do be much in prayer. Amen. Genesis chapter 45, the big picture. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph, doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph your brother, whom ye sold unto Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren, and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. Amen. That is our Bible reading. I'm sure you can probably guess which verses really drew my attention to this. Verses number 5, 6, and 7. And I want to spend a minute or two talking on the subject of the big picture. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads and have a quick prayer, and then we'll go. Heavenly Father, once again we come before you and pray for your good hand upon us as we take this time to read and study your word and consider one of the many lessons that you have in your word for us, Lord. We really do need you, especially as these days get darker and darker and wicked people get worse and worse, Lord. Please help us, watch over us, keep us, and edify us and strengthen us, comfort us, and Lord, even cool our heads a bit if that's what we need. But please, Lord, just work on all of us this evening and our brothers and sisters around the world. Thank you for all your many helps and blessings and for bringing us to this point in our lives. And we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I am sure every one of us knows the story of Joseph. Just a quick recap in case you don't. As we read this portion of God's word, we have a wonderful family reunion of these brothers that hated his guts whenever he was younger because he wore the coat of many colours, which signified him as the most beloved of his father. And because he had dreamed dreams, two of which showed his father and his mother and all of his brethren bowing down to him and worshipping him. And they hated him for it. And so they were out one day and they were tending to their flocks, and Joseph was sent out, and he actually brought back a bad report. They must have been carrying on or drinking or who knows what they were at. And of course they weren't happy at this. They had a supergrass amongst them. I would say, can you imagine growing up with Jesus Christ as your big brother? Can you imagine if anything went wrong in the house or the children disobeyed? I'm sure Mary was no slow poke, and she might have said, well, Jesus, who was it that did that? I can almost imagine what it was like being grassed up on until, you know, you just learn to do the right thing and then there's no grass necessary. But they actually planned to kill him. They threw him in a pit. Or Reuben managed to say, he threw him in the pit and he was planning to come back and pull him out and get him back home again before his other brothers did something to him while he was away doing something. They actually sold him as a slave. And he ended up in a man called Potiphar's house. Sold as a slave. He was brought in as a house slave. He rose to the top of the house. No matter where Joseph went, he had an excellent spirit, very much like Daniel and his three brethren. And of course, you know the story, how he ended up being thrown back in prison, because Potiphar's wife was nothing but a harlot, and she wanted to have relations with him, and he just ran, and she grasped him out to Potiphar, and sure enough, he ended back in prison again. But even in prison, he had an excellent spirit, and the big cheese in the prison basically put him in charge. And as time went on, I am sure he went from being probably the son of one of the most powerful men in the world to being less than nothing, under lock and key. Every move watched, every thing that he did was monitored. But because he had a good spirit, a godly spirit, he was blessed everywhere that he went and with everything that he put his hands on. I'm sure you remember the story of how the king's baker and the king's vintner ended up in prison too. I think there was a possible attempt on Pharaoh's life, and these men, they both were put in prison until it could be found out. And they had dreams. Joseph got to hear the dreams, and the vintner's dream was about getting a clump of grapes and squeezing them into a cup and giving them to Pharaoh. And Joseph said to him, that means in very short order you will be restored to your position. And the baker said, well, I had a bunch of bread on my shoulders and the birds came down and ate them all. And Joseph said, sadly, you'll be hung and the birds will come and eat your eyes or whatever it is. And sure enough, the baker, he was taken and executed. The vintner was so over the moon at this restoration that even though Joseph had said to him, look, remember me, he forgot all about it. I'm going to tell you something, when you're thrown in prison, that's a big change. And the thought of getting out again, I am sure, is enough to wash so many of your worries and even promises that you have made away. And it wasn't until Pharaoh had dreams that the vintner suddenly realized, I've made a mistake. I forgot to tell you about this Hebrew boy in the prison that can interpret dreams. And you know that Pharaoh had the dream about the seven good sheaves and the seven old favorite sheaves and the seven fat cattle and the seven thin cattle, and how the seven thin cattle would eat up and consume utterly the seven fat cattle and likewise the sheaves. And Pharaoh was very troubled about this, and he asked around, who can help us here? And the vintner says, there's a man in prison who told me my dreams, and he told me that I was going to get out of jail and the baker would be put to death, and that's exactly what happened. Ask him. And so all of a sudden, this man that's used to running around in rags, being nothing but the servant of literally a prisoner, a servant in prison, he's hosed down, he's given a quick shave, and he's presented before Pharaoh and asks for the dreams. And he tells Pharaoh it's a double reminder that there's going to be 7 years of plenty of food, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And what you should do, Pharaoh, is get someone who has their wits about them to gather up all the excess food during the 7 years and put them in huge barns so that when the famine comes, you will have enough food to see you through. And Pharaoh says, well, who better to be in charge of it than the man that interpreted the dreams? And he goes from being the lowest in society, because even a beggar can go wherever he likes, a prisoner, to having Pharaoh's ring on his finger, the most powerful man in the land, organizing everything. You know the story how time passes and the famine gets 2 years in, so it's 9 years later, maybe 10, 11, 12 years after he is sold as a slave, 9 years after he is lifted out of jail, his family runs out of food and they hear there's food in Egypt and they go. And there's a couple of back and forths, and Joseph recognizes them. Of course, he looks like the Egyptian with the makeup and the beard and the, like you see in the sarcophagi. And he organizes to, when he sees them the first time, to bring Benjamin. And then he makes it out that Benjamin has stolen something, a cup from him, and he has Benjamin kept. And he brings his dad. And we all know that the children of Israel lived, I was going to say, almost peaceably for 400 years in the land of Egypt, until, as the Word of God says, there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, and that's where Moses comes in. But this is the point.
where
Joseph makes himself known to his brethren.
I know what folks are like because I'm a folk, and I know folks, and I have folks, and I'm sure we're all the same. And I know what kids are like. We used to play God the Last in our house. I'm sure I've shared it with you a few times, where you would run past and hit a brother or a sister in the arm and make sure you're moving when you do it, because you get a good head start. The person, you say, God the Last. And then it was up to them to try and get you back at some point. There were some people that never grew out of that. Even whenever they're up and old and the families of their own or they're in their dotage, never get over that. Always have to have the last word. Always have to have vengeance or revenge. And you can be sure that's exactly the way the brethren felt, Joseph's brethren, because if you read that, it says they could not answer him for they were troubled. You know what was going through their head? Joseph's going to get us last. He has already locked up our brother Benjamin. He has him. He is going to stick one on to us for the last 10, 11, 12, 13 years of hardship that we enforced him for throwing him into the pit, for planning even to kill him and selling him as a slave. He's going to stick one on us. And he goes on in verse number 4, and he says, remember you sold me into Egypt, that it's me. Yep, things have changed. But don't be grieved. And don't be angry with yourselves. You know what would be going through people's heads? Man, if only we had done something different back then, we wouldn't be in this position. They're thinking of retribution coming their way because they did do a bad thing and they lied to their dad. It broke his heart. Don't be grieved or angry. This was part of God's plan. God that sent me before you to preserve life. And he goes on down and he explains to them the dreams. There's 5 more years of famine. And in verse 7 he says, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity on the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And I got to thinking about that. That's a big man. Do you ever hear about being called the bigger man? Letting a slight slide, although this goes beyond hitting your brother or sister, a dig in the arm on your way past and shouting, I got you last. That takes a big man to look up from everything that's going on in this world and to see the big picture. And it's not easy. And there's times that we can do it. And there's times that we can't do it because some hurts run very, very deeply. But God says that we need to keep looking up. There's a great verse in the scriptures and the gospels where it says, when you see all these things come to pass, it says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's what Jesus said. Look up. When you see everything going wrong around you, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Joseph is portrayed as the great savior of the world back in that day. But that wasn't an accident. And it didn't come from him rolling over in bed one day, bumping his head on the bedside cabinet as he was checking the clock. Honest God. It didn't happen like that. It happened because even from an early age, God was working in Joseph's life. And I am sure, hand and heart, just like young David. David just didn't suddenly, miraculously know how to kill Goliath. He walked and he talked with God. And Joseph dreamed dreams and gave the interpretation of them before all of this came down. And young David killed a bear and a lion as they sought to raid his flock before he stood before Goliath. You don't suddenly have great victories in the Christian life.
Because we're not like that. We need to test and prove. And God even says, test me and prove me. That doesn't mean to do bad things hoping God will bail you out. That means for you to ask God and to pray God and to listen to God and obey God in the little things, so that whenever the big things come along, you can say, God asked me to do that, and I did it, and I trusted him, and it happened. And I don't know why, but God asked me to do it, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the right thing God's way, and in God's good time, and trust that it is one of those little pieces in that big picture that I can't fathom all the ins and outs of, but I know my one wee piece is important. Anybody here ever do jigsaws? Did you ever lose a piece? If there's one piece missing, the picture is not complete. And so when God asks you to fill in your wee piece, make sure that you do. Become a beautiful picture. And it didn't stop there. Because I want to tell you something, friends. It can be very frustrating. And we were having a conversation out there just how we in the UK are much more reserved, untested and unproven than many people from around the world. We live in one of the most peaceful countries in the world. Or we did at any rate. We are not used to opposition. We are not used to strife. And we are not used to hardship. And so when it comes our way, it's very easy for us, and I'm guilty of it too, to say, God, what's happening? Why are things coming against me? Why am I not able to do the things that I want to do? It's very easy to feel that way. And sometimes it feels we nearly need a neck brace to hold our chins up and our eyes up and keep our eyes on Jesus. It's very difficult. But Joseph, see, whenever you've lost everything, Joseph kept going the same. So he had something the whole way through his life that his brethren couldn't take away, that prison couldn't take away, that betrayal couldn't take away, that being forgotten about couldn't take away. And that's Jesus. That's God. Because no matter whether you're a slave in a pit, a rejected and betrayed brother in a pit, or whether you're a slave on the marketplace, or whether you're a servant in a semi-important man's house, or a prisoner in jail, or the king of the world, there is one thing that all of those men have in common in this portion of God's word, and that is they walked with God and kept their eyes on God. Joseph, and all of those in that 10, 12, whatever length of time, years of his life, kept his eyes on God. And everybody found him to be a good guy, a godly guy, an honest guy, someone with integrity. But more importantly, someone that walked with God. Now, it doesn't say that Joseph was able to call down lightning bolts from heaven, and it doesn't say that he was able to call down fire bolts from heaven or cause the earth to open up or seas to part. But he was able to tell on 5, 6 occasions what the meaning of a dream sent from God meant. He was able to tell people that 6 times. 6 times God worked directly in his life. And that took him from being the favoured son to one of the most powerful man in the world, simply by keeping his eyes on God. And the big picture, at least his little bit of the big picture, was to be put in such a position that he could be raised to a place where he could save literally the whole world. But most importantly, the children of Israel. That was his job. Now, I'm sure he'd probably lay in his bunk at night or whatever, pass for a bunk or the floor even on the prison cell, and implored God, what am I doing here? I used to have servants. I used to have the best of food. I used to have the nicest of clothes. I used to be able to wash every day. And here I am in a dungeon. And the only thing warm I have is the rats that run across my feet. And eat the food that I leave, such as it is. I am sure he was a man. He is a man, or was a man like all of us. I am sure it was put to the test. More than 10 years. But he kept his eyes on God. Brothers didn't quite see it. It had to be shown to them. And the only way it was shown to them was in the fact that Joseph wasn't ready to kill them all whenever he found them, to exact his revenge. He realized at one point, maybe through all the times that the Lord revealed the meaning of the dreams, that he was there for a particular reason. Just like Esther. And Mordecai said to Esther, who knows but you're in such a place for such a time as this. And each one of us, each child of God, is the very same. We know the broad strokes of the big picture because God actually put them in his book. The verses in the book of Revelation that we read that says there is a blessing to everyone that reads and studies the Word of God and remembers the things that's in it. And it doesn't just apply in the book of Revelation, it's the whole Bible. It's all important. And we get a vague overview, as much as we need, of the way things are going. And we can see it happen in the bits here and the bits there. But there is a big picture that is too much for us to countenance and to understand. But it is as simple as playing Connect Four for the King of Kings and God of Gods. And he can see it. And he is the one that has been working in the background and putting the words in his Bible, the Word of God, the King James Bible, and been preserving them for at least 2,000 years and the thousands of years before that, so that we can look at them today and we can say, my goodness. Yes, I can see now why people are the way they are, because and they're so easily led, because they're proud and they're covetous and they're boasters and they're unholy and they're unthankful. And the men in the pulpits are traitors, they're heady and high-minded, they look religious, but they deny the power of God. I can see that. And I can see as people mock and scoff at those that are good. I can see why they are so easily led. I can see why. But whenever we come down to a personal level, and believe you me, friends, sooner or later it will come down to a very personal level. We need to keep our eyes on God. We need to read our Bibles. We need to spend time in God's presence. We need to be faithful in church. We need to pay our tithes. We need to be able to roll up our sleeves to help the brethren, or indeed even a lost person, might you think. Well, what about the beggars that say, can you spare me a pound for a cup of tea? Says, no, I can't. But I'll tell you what, I will buy you a cup of tea and I'll even throw a sandwich in so that it is for a cup of tea and it's not just for drugs or drink or anything like that. I do remember a fella saying one time to a beggar, he says, mate, you couldn't give me £2 for a pint of beer. He says, you know what? Because you're honest with me, I will give you the £2 for a pint of beer. Most of the rest of them lie and say they want the money for a cup of tea. I wouldn't advocate that at all, but you know what I mean. There is a big picture. God not only sees the big picture, but knows each individual piece of which you and I are important. We're loved individually by a God that gave us life on the cross of Calvary for us. And sometimes, whenever we sit on our own, it's very easy to believe that you've been abandoned and forgotten and betrayed, thrown down a pit, out of sight, out of mind. Just keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep doing what he asks you to do. And whenever you get your opportunity, stand up and speak or act in the way that God has shown you over the years do what you can and apply your peace, your tiny little piece of colour, to the big picture that God is painting and with this whole world. And I can guarantee you, whenever you look back, Christian, when you stand in glory and you look back at your whole life, God will show you the importance of every tract you handed out, every prayer that you raised up to heaven on your own behalf and on behalf of others, every service that you attended that helped build you up and make you the Christian that you are. Everything, he will show you where that fitted in and completed the big picture. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. There are many instances, and I was just looking at one the other day, where it gives the difference between saved people and lost people. And it talks about all the things that run through a lost person's heart, and the selfishness and the thefts and the lies and the murders, and whether they're for real or whether they're just acted out in a person's head, and the jealousies and the stripes and the seditions. Saved people are subject to those too, but saved people have an option. They can have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness and faith. The Bible says there's no law against those things, against which there is no law, it says. We can have those. We can let them see how people see how they affect us. And we can even experience that in our own lives. We have a choice. And some of the colours, if you want to put it that way, carrying on the analogy, are bright and uplifting and strengthening and comforting. Christian characteristics. But all the others are not. They will pull you down. They will depress you. They'll put an oily, grimy feel on everything that you see in here. And you don't want that. Yes, I know people say sometimes it's the dark colours that give contrast to the bright. It doesn't have to be that way. Yes, we can have difficult times, but when we keep our eyes on the Lord, the big picture will go exactly the way the Lord wants for it to go. Someone once said, I have read the last book and the last chapter in the book, and we win. Sometimes it's worthwhile reading that and reminding yourself that the Lord won the war 2,000 years ago. There's just a bunch of skirmishes and little battles that have to be fought in between times. There's going to come a day whenever you'll be in heaven, Christian. Sadly, maybe there'll be a day whenever you get to look over the great white throne of judgment of all those that said no to Jesus, but there will come a day when you and I stand in heaven with our loved ones that have gone on before and the saved of every generation, and the things that seem so difficult to us now, well, the things that cause us so much fear and pain and nervousness, we will laugh at them and think, you know what, that was nothing for all that the Lord has done for me and for this that he has given me. It was nothing. I wish I'd done a bit more. That's between you and God. There's a big picture. Do your bit. And God bless you as you go. We're going to close now with a hymn. John's pick was number 19. God be with you till we meet again. If there was ever a more fitting hymn to close the service with, I don't think I've come across it. This one is God be with you till we meet again. Let's stand as we sing hymn number 19 in the wee black.
God be with you till we meet.
couldn't say it better myself. Let's close our eyes and be dismissed with a word of prayer.
Amen.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this little bit of time set aside from the world. Please bless it to each one of us, and please be with each one of your children until we meet again. Please see us safely home. Please see us back in the next appointed time. And Lord, please see us ready when you need us. We love you and thank you. We leave all of these things at your feet, Lord, along with our private prayer requests and our calls for loved ones to be saved and edified and walking and talking with you. And we ask that you would grant our prayer petitions and requests, whatever it is that they are, for the up and coming days and weeks and months, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen. Amen. Gentlemen, ladies, shake hands and fellowship for a little bit. We are dismissed.